Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. The time is 8:16, and that means it is time for our live local interview. I have three guests in the studio with me today. I'm going to start with introducing Debbie Miller. Debbie, thank you so much for coming in today.
Good morning, Peter. Good to be here.
We also have Jack Hickel. He's here as well.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Rob Kulin.
Good morning, Peter.
Great. It's great to have you all in here. We're here to talk about a special presentation at the Public Library tonight about South Sudan. And Debbie, this is your project, and so you've brought our guests into the studio today. And what do they have in store?
Oh, they have a lot of great things in store. I hope people can come out tonight at 6:30 at the library, because this is a really special welcome to Dr. Jack Hickel and to Rob, fellow board members, Kulin here. And yes, I'm just doing a little outreach for Alaska Health Project South Sudan. I joined the board last year because I was amazed at the work this organization has done over the last 17 years in Africa, a place that I love and I'm really interested in. So the talk tonight will focus on this great work that has been done in the South Sudan and continues to be done. And you'll be hearing from Jack, who has founded the organization and worked there for 17 years.
So Jack, let's talk about that. So you are co-founder and board president of Alaska Health Project South Sudan. Can you describe the organization for us?
Yes, we're a group of Alaskans that are working in South Sudan, Africa, to help improve healthcare in a region called Fangak. South Sudan, just to kind of give you an idea, is one of the world's most failed states, and has one of the least, it's the least human developed index number on the planet. So of 192 countries, we rank at the bottom 1, 2, 3 in terms of human development. And the area we're working there is very remote, very difficult to access, and that area of South Sudan hasn't changed in probably 500 years.
So Alaskans like to think of ourselves as being remote, but can you make a comparison between what we might think is remote and South Sudan, the area you're working in?
This is very difficult. It's along a branch of the Nile River, and it's, of course, there's no roads there. There's no electricity. There's no sanitation. There is no clean water. There's limited education and practically non-existent health care except in the village that we have been working in. And we can reach it by boat if there is no fighting along the Nile River, and right now we can't access it by boat. We can access it by remote bush plane half the year, or by helicopter to the United Nations. It's a tough place to reach.
So Rob Kulin is a board member and also a volunteer with the organization. So Rob, you have traveled to South Sudan and done some work there. Can you describe a little bit of your experience?
Yeah, I've actually been three times, and all three were very different. So the first time I actually went and did our first fully remote well outside of Old Fangak, which was a new situation for our group in trying to get out of this main nexus village where there actually is a little bit of healthcare and people have started to congregate because of some of the work that the groups have done. And getting out into some of that country is pretty wild. A year after that, I actually went with Jack on, I think it was about a 40-mile walk through various parts outside the village in some pretty deserty savanna country with a few swamps here and there. And we were told in a few places that we were the only foreigners to ever, in the history of that village, visit the village. So that kind of emphasizes how remote some of these places are, as Jack pointed out. And the poverty and the malnourishment that you see during that is pretty striking. And I think the only thing I want to add to that maybe initial taste, if you will, of being out in the field is that in the third time that I've gone, also with Jack here, we did a 42-mile canoe trip. And ironically, because of massive flooding on the Nile River that's been going on for about 6 years now, we were actually canoeing over country that we had walked in deserty savanna on our previous trip. So it's a pretty harsh place, hard to get around, but the people are incredibly grateful just that you visit with the potential of bringing things like fresh water, or maybe some seeds or stuff like that, and then, of course, even more so when you're actually able to achieve doing so.
So I'd like to talk about the presentation tonight at Sitka Public Library. So, Jack, you will be the primary speaker?
Yes.
And what's your goal for the presentation? What are you hoping people to take away if they make it to the presentation this evening?
We want this Alaskan tier to be aware, number one, that this group of Alaskans that's working in South Sudan is having a huge impact on some of the poorest people in the world. And we want Alaskans to become aware of this. We want people in Sitka to become aware of this. And, of course, we're always looking for financial support, but we're looking for just to spread the word so that we can have a greater impact on what we're doing. Our focus over there has been provide clean water. We've put 120 water wells, boreholes, in over 70 villages providing clean water. We have established over 1,200 small family farms to fight food insecurity. Some of those have flooded now, but now we're switching over to rice farming in the flooded areas. So we're still establishing new farms all the time. The third thing is we have built two health centers in the village of Olfangak. One is general medical surgical, and the other is TB infectious disease. And the fourth thing we're looking at, besides medical infrastructure, clean water, and food, is making these programs sustainable so that they're all run by local men and women. And we're beyond that stage now. They are doing the work. And Alaskans can adopt this program because it's having one of the greatest impacts of any place on the planet. And I've been all over the world, and this place is number one in terms of need.
So I want to ask you, you're stressing the word Alaskans.
Yes.
And this is a unique non-governmental organization in that it is an Alaskan group.
That's
and
true.
And a privately funded group, as I understand.
That's true.
So how does that compare with other non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, as they're known,
right,
across the world and also in Sudan?
It's interesting. There are a number of NGOs working in South Sudan. You have Save the Children Fund, you have World Relief, Africa Development Corporation, et cetera, et cetera. They are funded by the United Nations, by private funding, and USAID. Now, this is a key point. USAID pulled out of the world in January 2025 of the new administration. USAID provided 42% of the humanitarian aid for the world, but it's just 1% of our GDP. It wasn't a lot, but it was having a huge impact. When they pulled out all this funding, all these other NGOs lost most of their funding and became practically non-workable in South Sudan. There's one NGO that didn't get affected by that defunding. It's the Alaska Health Project South Sudan. So these other NGOs have turned to us, and they have made the Alaska team, as we're known over there, the lead for water and sanitation improvements in Jonglei State in South Sudan, which is the most needy in terms of humanitarian need. So we're now the lead for water and sanitation.
So that sounds like a tall order, and very possibly it was unexpected, unanticipated, let's say.
It was.
How big is your organization, and how many people do you have working on that? Maybe Rob's pointing over to Jack to answer that question.
Well, we have 10 board members, but we have 32 people in the village that are working for us, that are employed by us. These are the people that make it work. We have Todd Hardesty from Anchorage, who's our executive director, and we have Dan Pasenga, who's on the East Coast, who kind of manages all these things.
But when you say 40 people or what have you, these are local people.
Oh, yeah.
These are South Sudan people. These are not U.S. citizens going over.
And give me a sense of what's the percentage of the population. How many people are you, local people, are you
serving? Good question. It's a little hard to tell because there's no surveys going through that part of the world. You're not gonna have a lot of computer data on that. But there is some. We estimate we have impacted over 100,000 people in providing clean water and providing food security over these years. So it's huge. The area that we're working in, who knows? But we do know that in South Sudan, there are 2.3 million children suffering from acute malnutrition right now.
So it's a huge population.
The population of the country is 12 million.
Okay.
Think of that number of kids that are malnourished in Gaza, okay? There were 12,000 kids malnourished in Gaza. We thought, what a disaster. The world about this disaster. We have 2.3 million kids facing starvation. And half the population, 52% of the population, is suffering from acute food insecurity. It's huge.
So we're going to hear more about this evening,
yes,
if you're able to come to the event. So Debbie, I'll ask you again to reiterate where and when people can go to hear Jack, yeah, to hear Rob, and you as well.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it'll be a wonderful talk. It's very enlightening to learn about that part of the world. 6:30 p.m. at the Sitka Public Library. Thank you, Margo, for organizing everything. And then also Sitka Rotary is co-hosting, so we're going to have lots of cookies. I'm hoping my Rotary friends come through with the cookies. And that always brings people out, right?
Absolutely.
But I look forward to seeing everyone in Sitka to learn about this work. It's just amazing. My favorite little sub-story that you told me, Jack, is that when you go up the Nile, people start, like, chanting Alaska because they're known as the Alaska team. So Alaska has a really good name when you're in the South Sudan.
Absolutely. Sounds like stepped up to the plate in serving this population.
Been exciting. It's been a great opportunity. And Alaskans have risen to it. Our funding so far has come from Alaska primarily. A few small grants here and there, but primarily Alaskans.
Well, thank you so much for coming in to share about this. You can hear these folks speak tonight at Sitka Public Library at 6:30. And I wish you all the best, both for attendance for this evening and for the work that you, I'm sure, will be doing in the future. Thank you so much. I'll be back right after this.
Thanks Peter. You.